In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We're starting a sermon series today that'll help us get through the season, based on the redemption of Scrooge. Before we get into that, let's talk about a few things we know about our favorite miser. First of all, his first name is Ebenezer, and he had a partner whose name was Jacob Marley, and his famous phrase for everything when he didn't agree with anything was, bah. Ooh, you guys are getting good at this. Anyway. And he worked for Fezziwig and all that good stuff, and I can tell you any number of leading men who have played Scrooge. And I have my favorites. Anyway, what we know about Scrooge is that he gets a bad rap. When we think about nowadays and we think about someone who is being a Scrooge, it's normally the least festive, most pessimistic, least likely to be encouraging of anything beyond making the almighty dollar on the planet, right? When we say, oh, he's just such a Scrooge, it's usually the person who's griping because I put my Christmas tree up on November 1st, right? If we think of a Scrooge, it's the person who gripes because we do something the way we're supposed to do it. And they run around and they say, bah. Thank you. They say, bah humbug. For all that we know about good old Ebenezer, for every version we've either read or watched, for every actor who has played Mr. Scrooge, we know certain things. He worshiped the almighty dollar. He fulfilled a life calling that he believed he had, that told him to focus on an extreme version of you get what you pay for and you reap what you sow. Picture in your mind your favorite version of A Christmas Carol. Okay? Mine's the Muppets, to tell you the honest truth. Picture that when the little boy, or in this case, the rabbit, shows up and he's singing the song, and you know, dun 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 dun, and he looks at Scrooge, and Scrooge looks at him, and, oh, what do you want? Tuppence for the song, governor. And he throws the wreath that Fred brought at him. He couldn't be bothered. When he talked about those, when the two came to his office to ask him for the donation for the needy and the poor, and he said, are there not poor houses? Then let the needy go there. He didn't want to be bothered with it. He felt, in the beginning, he felt that you got what you paid for and you reaped what you sowed. And so if you didn't have the wherewithal to work hard and save up and be miserly and hold on to what you had, then you didn't deserve his hard-earned money. You didn't deserve his time of day. The truth was also that he felt the same way about his family. It's how he treated his nephew. You remember his sister's only son, his sister who had died. And he came and invited his uncle Scrooge to dinner and Christmas with he and the family. And he said, ah, bah, humbug. You keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine. It's a little bit like the guys in the field, right? Jesus tells the parable about how the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner that hires people to work for the vineyard. And they're the people who are there at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they are ready to go and they are ready to work all day long, 12-hour day. And he says, tell you what, you go work in the vineyard and I'll pay a denarian. It's a little like telling your kids nowadays, you go do this job and I'll give you a $20 bill. Yeah, that's pretty slick. Go clean your room and I'll pay you a $20 bill. 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, oh, yeah, oh, big money. Yeah, I'm going to go spend it at the dollar store. And they thought that was great. And then around 9 o'clock, so we're you know, 3 hours into the day, and he sees some more people and he sends them out to the vineyard and says, well, how about you? And I'll pay you what you're worth, right? And that happened again at noon and again at 3. And so we have been working through the day for 9 hours and we keep adding more people out in the field. You got the guys who've been out there since 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, oh, yeah, those poor guys, they're going to work, and they're not getting a denarian. We're going to make it big, and they're not going to get much. And then there's the guy standing there at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 hour before the bell rings, 1 hour before the whistle blows, 1 hour before quitting time, show me the money. And he says, guys, why aren't you working somewhere? And he says, the guys say, well, nobody wanted to hire us. And the landowner says, well, tell you what, you go out and then you give me an hour worth of work, and I will pay you what you're owing. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I know full well that if I started working at 6 o'clock in the morning doing a hard-labored job and somebody showed up 11 hours later, I would be expecting that I'd be getting a touch more money than they were for the work, right? I've been working all day long. It's hot, it's sweaty, it's gross. Grapevines are not fun to play with. I would expect that I would get more than the guy who's only been working for about 55 minutes. It's a little like Scrooge, just a touch. But the landowner lines them up, and he says, it's the end of the day, and he says, call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and finishing up with the first. So they're all lined up, right? And you got the guy who's been here for an hour, all the way up to the one who's going, he's been working hard for 12 hours. And they're standing there and they're watching. It's kind of like when the kids get their stockings, right? And they're, oh, what'd you get? And the guy up there's going, I'm getting at least that, because stockings are all supposed to match. And the poor guys have been there for an hour. They get a whole denarian. And the guy who's been there for 3 hours is going, all right, a denarian and a dime. Okay. Well, and then it's their turn. And they get a denarian. And the guy who's been there 6 hours is going, wait, denarian. And at this point, the guy who's been working all day is like, okay, I best be getting like 6 denarian here, because these guys, I've been working harder than these ones. And sure enough, you get up here to the guy who's been working all day long, and he gets 1 denarian. And he goes, what gives? I spent half my day working for you. That guy down there, I saw him at Starbucks, and then I saw him at Walmart, and then I saw him wherever else, and he's only been here for an hour, and how does he get the same amount I get? And he says to them, he says, friend, I did you no wrong. Did I not agree to pay you a denarian? Take what belongs to you and go. I want to give this one who was hired last the same I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what belongs to me? Or are you resentful because I'm generous? So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. The redemption we have in Jesus Christ is a little bit like the denarians, where the person who accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, who claims their Christian identity, who claims Jesus as Redeemer, on the last day, little deathbed confessional, is granted the same amount of grace and redemption as the cradle churchgoer. And we in our humanists, we society, we in our humanists have a hard time wrapping our brain around that. because we're an awful lot like the vineyard workers. And if we're honest, we're an awful lot like Scrooge, because Scrooge would be like, dude, I've been a Christian. Well, not really, but someone like a mindset like Scrooge would be like, I've been doing this church thing my whole life. I have been a faithful church member my whole life. I have done the work of the church. I've done 12 stints on session. I've been on every committee. I have literally done everything, including scrubbing the toilets. What do you mean this one who just accepted Jesus gets the same spot in heaven that I do? Where's my crown? Where's my wings? Where's my extra bonuses? Where's my channel with the 999 plus channels? This guy just became a Christian on his deathbed. Like, was a Christian that long? What about me? In those first parts of the Scrooge story, that's Scrooge's outlook on life, right? He looks at it like, I've worked hard all this time. It's mine. It's not my job to bail you out. It's not my job to fix what you haven't been able to pull off. It's not my job to coddle you and to do Christmas with you because that's what you want. Let me do Christmas my way and you do yours. But Scrooge is wrong. And the guy who'd been in the field for 12 hours is wrong. And the guy who was in the field for 1 hour, well, he was kind of wrong too. The truth is that the Savior who's coming, we are awaiting, fits into God's economy and not ours. The Savior whose birth we await, who brings us great hope, for whom we light the candles, he serves and is part of a God, a triune God, who has an economy that says the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and the guy who's been at it for a nanosecond gets the same amount as the guy who's been at it for years. If Scrooge can be redeemed, because we remember the end of the story, right? And he's gone through the three ghosts, four ghosts if you count Jacob Marley, and if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert. But he goes through all the ghosts, and he wakes up, and is that last ghost is the ghost of Christmas yet to come, and he's got the gravestone with his name on it. And he says, no, I've changed, and he wakes up, and he's in bed, right? And he's redeemed, and he changes the whole outlook. And again, I'm going, in my mind, it's the Muppets Christmas Carol playing on the TV screen in my mind, and he flings open the doors and knocks Rizzo the Rat off the windowsill, and he says, oh, you boy, Merry Christmas, and it's the little rabbit who he'd thrown the wreath at an hour and a half before. And he says, you, right there. And he says, yes, sir. Don't throw things at me. And he says, is the turkey still hanging down in the butcher's window? He says, the one bigger than me? Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's still there. Good, go and get it. And he does a little rabbit. Yeah, right. With what? And that's when he throws him the bag of coins and says, here, go buy it. And you keep the change. And he goes, and he and this merry band of Muppets go to Bob Cratchit's house, right? And he tries to be stern, and he goes, oh, you know, Bob, you weren't at work this morning. He says, well, we talked about it, sir. Bob Cratchit, played by Kermit the Frog. We talked about it, sir, and you told me I could have the whole day off. Which is when Miss Piggy comes around the door, Emily Cratchit, Mrs. Cratchit, comes around the door and says, I'll give you a piece of my mind. And therefore, Mr. Scrooge, and therefore, I want to raise your salary. Scrooge is redeemed. We are redeemed. If Scrooge can be redeemed, and if the vineyard owner can explain about how it really works, therefore, are we not also worthy of the redemption? See, it's this meal. This one right here. that reminds us time and time and time again, every time we break this bread and drink this cup. We claim and we remember and we reclaim over and over and over again that it's not our way, it's His way. And that truly we would be living the way we are called if our way was His way. If Scrooge can be redeemed, so also can we. It's the baby in the manger who comes and teaches us that it's okay. And it does not really matter where in your life cycle you accept Jesus. It really doesn't matter in your life cycle when it is you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether it is at the beginning or the end. The redemption is the same. If nothing else, that gives us hope. That gives us hope. And as we go into Advent and we start this trek toward Bethlehem again, it gives us hope that no matter where we are on our journey of faith, we will get there too. Amen.